Chapter 8 A Frozen Menagerie. Torbrand kicked him awake before the sun had pushed itself over the horizon. Jen scrambled to his feet and followed the Shadan out into the kitchen. Regina was there, slump-shouldered and tired, putting the finishing touches on a large breakfast. Jen rubbed his eyes as he sat, trying to clear his vision. Torbrand was dressed for travel and practically bounced at every step.
"Isn't this quite a feast, Jen?" he effused. "I do apologize for rousing your woman so early to prepare it, but our journey today will be long and cold, and we need a full belly against the task. Eat! I dare say this will be the best meal you've had in some time. And come sit with us, Regina. Sit close to Jen. Say whatever sweet goodbyes you have. For my part, I can hardly wait to be off."
Regina happily complied with the request, but neither she nor Jen had it in them to say anything in the presence of the Shadan. Even if they had the desire to speak, they wouldn't have had space to edge in a word. Torbrand talked incessantly about everything, from challenges by other warlords in his land to the food he liked, then on to an energetic yet gruesome description of the slaughtering of a band of Uyumak deep in the immense Lakewood.
"You should have burned the biscuits this morning," Jen whispered as Torbrand laughed over his own story of ramming an Uyumak basher into a tree with his horse.
"Oh, yes," he said, wiping tears from his eyes. "I do apologize for that fiasco yesterday, Regina. I promise not to throw Jen on the table again unless the biscuits are truly ashes, or he looks good enough to eat. Come now, Jen, give her a kiss and let's be off. I'll even remove myself for a moment."
While Jen could never trust Torbrand's magnanimity, for once he had little difficulty complying with the tyrant's orders. Regina lifted her veil and smiled, kissing him deeply.
"I wanted to thank you for risking yourself for me yesterday," she said, holding his eyes.
Grasping his hand, she placed a braided lock of hair in his palm.
"Remember me. Be safe."
"Enough of that,"
Torbrand said, entering the room. Jen turned and barely caught a backpack the Shadan had tossed at the back of his head.
"If you can't fit it in there, you can't bring it."
Regina squeezed his arm and he ran to his room. He hardly had clothes enough to fill the pack even halfway, but stuffing his heavy woolen blanket inside used up the space. After donning and tying his cloak, he pulled on the pack and returned to the kitchen.
"I hope you left room for food in there," the Shadan said, as he stuffed his own pack. "We only need enough for a day and a half."
With some creative shifting and cramming, Jen managed to get in an ample amount of dried meat and fruit.
"And here is your water skin. Wear it close to your body so that it does not freeze. All ready to go, then."
"Say goodbye to Raphael for me,"
Jen instructed Regina, as he followed Torbrand to the door.
"He never did like mornings."
Once he shut the door behind him, Jen wished for the indoors again. The morning was bitter cold. The sky, just starting to lighten, was clear of clouds. Their breath ejected billows of steam from their mouths, and Jen could feel the hairs of his nose freezing together. The ice-covered stairs of the Scholes' front porch creaked and crunched wildly from the cold, and the sound of it sent shivers through Jen's body. The Shadan set a brisk pace north, into the empty plains to the east of the Elwine Forest, and Jen's back started to ache from where the Shadan had hit him with the chair. Here the wind blew so chill that it penetrated his cloak with ease, pimpling his skin with its icy touch. As day fully broke, spreading a weak light about them, the Shadan turned west, putting their backs to the wind, and headed into the forest. While the wind lessened, the snow deepened. The Aelwine Forest was thick with new growth and littered with fallen branches and trees. Skinny pines, blown over by the wind, slanted across their way, a thin line of snow running down their trunks. While no path was evident, the Shadan walked forward confidently, angling this way and that without the slightest hesitation. Small puffy birds and snow-white rabbits scattered at their approach, and they crossed the tracks of wolves, deer, and foxes, running in thin trails all around them. While grateful that the Shadan was blazing the trail through the knee-deep snow, by the time he called their first halt, Jen could no longer feel his legs or his feet. Torbrand took a healthy swig.
"Drink up, Jen! They call it a water skin, but that's not what you'll find in it."
Jen unstoppered the leather bag and drank deeply, coughing as fiery liquor cascaded down his throat. The Shadan chuckled at his sputtering, but Jen felt warmth gradually return to his extremities, and he wiggled his toes in his boots to ensure they were still there.
"We wouldn't last a mile where we're going without this, so don't drink it all."
"Where are we going?" Jen asked, taking advantage of the Shadan's comment to put forth the question he had pondered through the night.
"To my homeland, of course. I need to retrieve something."
"That will take at least 2 months on foot," Jen exclaimed incredulously.
"Calm yourself. You don't think an entire regiment of my soldiers walked to your hometown during the summer, do you? We'll be using a portal."
"But that's illegal. The Portal Guild would never let you send an army into a land not your own. It's against the law." The Shadan laughed and took another swig.
"Well, let's reason this out as we walk, shall we, Jen? Maybe it will keep your mind off the cold."
They adjusted their water skins inside their cloaks and started forward again.
"I should have thought, Jen, that one who prides himself on being intelligent as you do would have figured this out by now."
"I do not pride myself on any such thing. I have much to learn," Jen contradicted, irritated at the Shadan's assumptions.
"Please, Jen. It's as Captain Omar said, this one thinks he has a brain in his head. It's in your eyes and the lift of your chin, Jen, and you should not be ashamed of it. But to the matter at hand, since the formation of the Portal Guild, every nation has paid them handsomely to provide use of the portals and enforce the laws to prevent them from being abused. Additionally, there are small fees to pass through them. You may not know this, but who do you think gets all that money and lives on fine estates with an overabundance of women, wine, and food?"
"The guildmasters."
"Correct! Now, your average portal mage lives about as well as Regina's family did, which certainly is not bad. Consider, though, that if the prophecy proves correct, Kihol will all knit itself together again and there will be no need to pay for portals, portal mages, or portal guildmasters. Now, the guildmasters have an abundance of wealth and will live quite nicely in the end. Can you piece out the rest of the story?"
It wasn't hard for Jen to understand the gist of Torbran's train of thought. "The portal mages will be destitute." Jen knew that as soon as anyone showed talent for opening portals, they were immediately removed from whatever station they were in, no matter how low or high, to be trained. Most portal mages had no other skills or profession with which to eke out a living.
"And destitute people are highly susceptible to what?"
"Bribery."
"And so you have it. But it is even a little worse than that, I'm afraid. What your distant little town probably hasn't the slightest notion of is that several portal mages have simply left their posts and are clandestinely offering their services to whomever wants to pay for them. This is all kept very quiet by the Guild, of course, and the Guild hunts their traitors vigorously. I have no doubt that all three kingdoms, and perhaps a few wealthy individuals besides, have their own portal mages on retainer by now. I have three. You will meet one soon."
"But there isn't a portal near Tell. The closest one is near Blood Throne."
"As far as anyone knew, yes. But new portals are being discovered constantly, and, well, there is one close by which portal mages under my control found nearly a year ago. In your view, a most unfortunate occurrence, I'm sure."
The conversation ended, and Jen walked glumly in Torbran's wake. Tell would provide a stronghold for Ogmyr in southern Tolnor, a place hard to reach due to a great dividing crack in the Menegothian Shard and the uninhabitable reed steps that divided the lands of Duke Sothbran of Bloodthrone and Duke Norshwal of Greytar from their peers to the north. That Shadan Cairn had found such a direct link of travel illuminated the often wicked face of chance, though chance was not all to blame. The Tolnorian people's general understanding that Shadan Cairn was a stupid, bloodthirsty brute was wrong. He was bloodthirsty, but in his lucid moments he possessed a sharp and calculating mind. The sun at last hefted itself firmly into the sky, sending slender beams of light to the forest floor, though the shadows of the wood stripped them of any vitality. The throats of winter birds finally thawed enough to enliven the wintry scene with a bit of music, but their cheer was lost on Jen, who found his prospects as bleak as the scene around him. Jen half considered attempting to run from his captor, who thought nothing of letting the bard's apprentice walk behind him. Jen was smart enough to realize that this wasn't folly on Shaddan's part. Torbrand had every confidence that he could catch and kill Jen at his convenience. And he was right. The smell of wood smoke pulled Jen from his dark reverie. At the base of a low wooded hill, a fire burned in a small, shadowy clearing. A crude shelter had been excavated into a steep slope of the hill, a curtain of hides covering the entrance. A man huddling close to the fire stood and regarded them unhappily as they approached. His close-cropped black hair was greasy and matted, and stubbly cheeks told the tale of several days living in the rough. He wrapped his arms around his thin frame, grey woolen cloak pulled close about him. Dark circles ringed his brown eyes, highlighting them against his pasty white face.
"Do you have any idea how cold it was here last night?" he asked hoarsely in greeting. "Damn near froze to death."
Torbrand stopped and put his hands on his hips as the man turned his gaze to Jen as if just noticing him.
"And this isn't one of your soldiers. I thought you weren't going back until spring."
Torbrand continued regarding him, face displeased.
"Jen, this is Yudan. Not his real name, of course. Perhaps you can help him think of a less stupid one on the way. He is the aforementioned portal mage in my employ. He is here through the rest of the month as the last of my men and supplies are brought over. And, of course, you see he has a problem."
Jen regarded Yudan, wondering if the Shaddan were referring to the cold. But Jen caught the fire in Torbrand's eyes. Yudan didn't have time to blink in the instant it took for the Shaddan's fist to travel to his nose. Yudan stumbled back and nearly fell into the fire, accidentally kicking several burning sticks into the snow to hiss and steam. The Shaddan extended his hand.
"Look, he has a broken nose. That certainly won't make the nights any warmer."
"What was that for?"
Yudan's voice was stuffy and muted, hands over his mouth and nose.
"I am the Shaddan of Ogmir, Yudan, and I am paying you more than you're worth. But you greet me with complaints and questions about my actions. Part of our deal was that you would ask no questions, and, quite frankly, I didn't like your tone just now. You've only to endure the cold a scant week more, and then you can find somewhere warm to spend your money. So shut up!"
"Yes, Shaddan."
"That's better."
Torbrand unlimbered his pack and sat by the fire.
"I gauge it about an hour until Yudan is scheduled to open the portal. Let's eat. The next part of the journey will be difficult."
Jen settled onto a stump near the fire, noticing a well-beaten track leading around the hill. Yudan regarded Jen for a few moments, clearly wanting to ask questions, but just as clearly scared to do so. The rogue portal mage settled for crouching by the fire and alternately warming his hands and probing his swollen, bleeding nose. Jen worked up his courage.
"Shaddan, you said the next part will be difficult. What do you mean?"
Torbrand finished chewing a piece of dried beef, trying to decide whether to answer the question or not.
"We go through a shard of no worth, save its connection here," he answered. "It's called the White Wind Shard, which you may have heard of. We found a portal to it from the Elene Shard. We will travel White Wind for 4 or 5 hours, and it will be a trial. It is chilled beyond anything you likely know. It does have one curiosity that will merit your attention, though I beg you not to bother me while I am eating. You will see it soon enough."
Jen had only heard the name of the White Wind Shard, but tales of Elene he knew well. It was the Shaddan's home, nicknamed the Harem Shard by decent folk. There Torbrand kept all his wives, concubines, and children. Speculation in Rugarth and Tolnor varied widely on the number of women Torbrand housed on the Shard. Some said 10, others said 100. Some said there were so many that the Shaddan himself did not know the tally. By all accounts, it was a crude place, a filthy den of sin and female degradation. Jen couldn't guess why Torbrand would take him there.
"Let's go,"
the Shaddan said sometime later. They followed the beaten path as it curved to the north. The trees were thick, though the path was cleared and easy to negotiate even in the snow. After a quarter of an hour, a glade opened before them, a small pond at the centre. Weak winter light provided no warmth, though they squinted as it washed over them when they emerged from the shadows. A platform was constructed out into the centre of the water, and a ladder descended into its icy depths. A crude, semicircle-shaped building constructed of rough-cut timber sat just to the side of the platform, a well-used fire pit brimming with ash in the centre. A stack of wood lined the back of the hut.
"I broke the ice this morning,"
Yudan said grumpily.
"Looks like I'll need to do it again."
"Get the fire going, Jen," Torbrand commanded. "There should be some embers you can use beneath the ash."
And then Jen understood. The portal was in the water.
"Yes, there will be a similar blaze on the other side," Torbrand continued, sensing the boy's concern.
Jen gathered pine needles and small sticks, while Yudan banged away at the ice around the ladder with a heavy hammer. Soon all three warmed themselves by a high fire, and Jen absorbed all the warmth he could. The prospect of entering the freezing pond set his teeth to chattering. After warming himself, Yudan strode out onto the platform, closing his eyes and incanting. Jen moved away from the fire to get a better look at the magician's work, his hair standing on end. He couldn't see much, but the water at the base of the ladder turned the faintest shade of blue. Yudan stood stock still, face calm, concentrating. Jen startled as something floated to the surface, followed by a shaking hand on the ladder. 10 soldiers in all emerged from the pond, running to the fire and stripping off their wet clothes. They dried themselves with towels they pulled from oilskin bags before changing into dry clothes. Torbrand talked with them quietly for a moment before throwing Jen 2 of the bags, telling him to secure Yudan's belongings in one of them, as well as putting a heavy rock in each. Jen took off his cloak and stuffed it inside, figuring he would need to keep it dry. Torbrand smiled as he strode forward to the edge of the platform.
"I am glad you are smart enough to realize you should remove your cloak. Yudan once again has forgotten. I don't suppose you have passed through a portal before, have you, Jen?"
"No, Shadan."
"It will cause you discomfort the first few times. Try not to retch into the fire on the other side. The odour would be most unpleasant. I'll take Yudan's sack. Just jump in and let yourself sink to the bottom. Use the ladder to get your bearings if you miss."
Without further explanation, the Shadan took a deep breath and dove in feet first. Jen edged forward. He could see the portal clearly now, shimmering blue at some unknown depth below the surface. The Shadan was a spot on the blue field before disappearing through it. Jen swallowed hard, trying to work up his resolve. If the soldiers hadn't been there, he realized he would have a chance of escape, but they watched him bemusedly from the fire as he vacillated.
"Go on," one of them yelled. "Go down quick or it'll freeze your manhood off."
The companions laughed, and in their ridicule, Jen found the backbone to shimmy forward and take the plunge. Every last bit of air in his lungs exploded from his mouth as cold fire shocked his body. Eyes wide, he flailed, trying to find the ladder to pull himself out. He lost his grip on the bag he held above him. With effort, he fought off the panic, forcing himself to stillness. Turning his eyes toward his feet, he could see the portal, but it didn't seem to be getting any closer. He desperately needed to breathe, chest aching. He paddled upward with his hands, forcing himself downward. He could feel his body going numb, and he inadvertently sucked water, gagging. And then blue light filled his vision. He felt motionless and disoriented before dropping through the portal, which flared blue near the ceiling of a modest room. He fell and slammed hard onto a wooden floor, lying prone. His vision swam, balance completely skewed. Pond water and his lunch shot from his mouth, ejected from a queasy stomach. To complete his humiliation, his bag fell from the portal and the rock thumped him on the head. Jen's vision faded in and out. Dimly he was aware of the Shadan, nearly paralyzed by a fit of laughter, ordering someone to remove his clothes. When he came to himself again, he was wrapped in a blanket and feeling woozy. Yudan, completely naked, was nearby, holding his cloak up to the fire to dry it. The Shadan had already donned a fresh set of clothes, all black, as was his custom.
"You should have reminded me about the injury on your back. I have healed it. Take some food and a drink from your water skin, then clean up your mess."
Jen complied, the fiery drink and food reviving him. They sat in a plain square room constructed of rough logs, two immense fireplaces set on opposite sides. A ladder on one side rose into the ceiling where the portal was opened, and in the centre of the floor there was a trap door. Two Agmerian soldiers stood at attention, one at each fireplace, while a skinny, ill-favoured slave worked at stoking the fires. The room had no windows, and the wind howled outside. He dressed quickly, fetching dry clothes from his bag. He used his wet shirt to corral the vomit into a pile before wondering what to do with it. A nod from Shaddan sent the slave to Jen's side. He motioned for Jen to come to the trap door with his waist, and when Jen neared, the slave opened it. Bitter cold invaded the room, and Jen shoved everything, including his shirt, out the hole. In that brief moment, when the trap door was open, he could just make out snow flying by, propelled sideways in the powerful wind. His vomit froze before it got halfway down, and he could hear it shatter as it banged against the rungs of the ladder and then dropped to the ground. They were in a tower of some sort. Jen returned to the fire immediately.
"How long has the wind been like this?" the Shaddan asked his soldiers.
"All night," the one nearest Jen answered. "If it follows the pattern of the last few days, it will let up somewhat as day approaches."
"We've got time," Torbrand said. "Yudan has to dry his cloak, and Jen needs to recover some of his fortitude."
Jen concentrated on keeping warm, guessing the white wind shard to be approximately 6 or 7 hours behind the Menegothian shard they had come from.
"At this rate, we'll be lucky to get to Elena before dinner," the Shaddan continued, addressing no one in particular.
How long they waited, Jen couldn't guess, but the wind did lessen in intensity, and the Shaddan called for them to prepare, despite Yudan's complaints that his cloak was still damp.
"Now listen," the Shaddan explained. "Take a good deep drink from your water skin, and then take some of the liquid and spread it on your hands and face. That will give you enough warmth to reach the bottom. It is about 20 feet to the ground. There is a building nearby. Go into it immediately. Hold your breath for as long as you can. If you must breathe, try not to breathe the air directly. Breathe through the cloth of your cloak. You will go first, Jen. I don't want you falling on top of me. You should probably remove the rock from your pack, lest it attack you again."
After Jen had done as Torbrand instructed, the slave threw the trapdoor open again. When he did, Jen judged the pond the fairer prospect. The icy wooden ladder dropped dizzyingly to the snow-covered ground below, and if it were daybreak, Jen couldn't tell. Everything was a purple-black, and small, icy snowflakes whooshed through the opening to sting his face.
"Get going, Jen," Torbrand commanded. "The virtue of the liquid does not last long."
With trepidation, Jen hung his legs over the side and grasped the rungs, trying not to look down. As he inched cautiously down the rungs, he realized his danger. The cold here could kill within minutes. In moments his eyelids had frozen shut, and the wind numbed his legs almost past feeling before he was halfway down. He could only hold his breath for a short amount of time, and when he did draw in air, it stung. He went down on touch, and he guessed he was 6 feet from the ground when he fell off, grateful for the powdery snow that broke his fall. Once down, he could not feel to move.
"For pity's sake, Jen,"
the Shaddan complained as he dragged him by his cloak hood inside a building Jen couldn't see.
"We really do need to toughen you up."
"Merciful Eldaloth,"
Yudan swore as he banged the door shut.
"There isn't enough money in the world."
The warmth from a brazier of coals gradually thawed Jen's eyelashes enough for him to see. The three men were in a long, stable-like building that smelled of urine and feces. 10 kennels lined the walls behind them. 3 cold soldiers were readying 3 sleds, each pulled by massive dogs with thick white fur and flat faces. Long hair hung over their faces and was so dense that no eyes, mouth, or snout were visible beneath it, which Jen found disturbing. Piles of furs lay about the walls as well as unused sleds.
"No doubt you are wondering how we are to survive a trek through this waste when a few seconds nearly did you in," Torbrand said. "Watch. You first, Yudan."
Jen sat up. The 3 soldiers wrapped the portal mage in bear fur, shoving thick gloves on his hands, furry socks over his boots, and a fur sack over his head. They laid him prone on the sled, covered him with another fur, and then tied him down. Jen felt sick. How could it get any worse?
"How do you breathe?" Jen exclaimed worriedly. "Do the dogs know where to go?"
"Calm yourself," Torbrand remonstrated. "Breathing inside the fur is not pleasant or easy, but it is better than dying. The dogs, yes, know their way. We found them here while exploring the shard with some magical help. They and some other smaller game they prey on are the only things alive in this place. Now stand over there and get covered."
Jen could not remember feeling more uncomfortable. After having him drink more of the liquid from his water skin, the Shadan ordered his men to serve Jen strong liquor, since it was his first time. Once he was lashed to his sled, he could not move, see, or breathe easily. Sounds were muffled, and he felt the need to scratch everywhere as the fur tickled and irritated his skin, especially as he started to sweat. His stomach twisted in anxiety, and he felt fearful and trapped. Just as he felt he would scream and start thrashing, the liquor dulled his mind and his senses. He heard the doors open and felt his sled move outside. The furs could not completely mask the terrible cold all around him. The wind flapped the furs as they glided through the snow, but the ropes held them fast. Three mummies, entombed in fur, moved slowly across a dark, frozen landscape, the white dogs trotting forward at a relaxed pace, unmindful of the blowing, powdery snow churning all around them. Jen couldn't imagine how Torbrand had transported an entire regiment of soldiers in such an uncomfortable and difficult fashion, or how he had found a portal to Tolnor 30 feet off the ground on a shard no human could survive on for even a few minutes. Hours dragged slowly by, and while he felt drowsy enough to sleep, he could never find the peace of mind to do so. From time to time the sleds would tilt or bump as the dogs padded over hills and gullies that their human passengers could only imagine. But at length the wind died and the sounds outside changed.
"Sledge approaching!" a gruff voice announced from outside. "Stoke the fire and let's get them out!"
Gradually the sleds stopped and unknown hands worked at the ropes and furs. After several minutes the three of them were standing in a smoke-filled ice cave, warming themselves by a fire. The two soldiers were shocked at the Shadan's presence, and their master disapprovingly examined the encampment around him. Supplies, sacks, and other equipage were strewn about the cave haphazardly.
"Who is your blade leader?"
Torbrand asked, tone severe.
"Durin Breyk,"
one of the soldiers replied fearfully.
"I shall have him disciplined,"
Torbrand stated.
"I'm sure he will pass it along. Now feed the dogs and clean this place up. Jen, come with me. You will find this interesting."
Jen slipped the fur mittens onto his hands again before leaving the comfort of the flames. Torbrand grabbed a lantern and led him back toward the cave entrance. They had only gone several paces before Jen noticed lumps on the floor, at first unrecognizable, and then, as the light revealed them, perfectly clear. Torbrand led him past an entire company of frozen Uyumak, hunters, bashers, and warriors, all fallen in grotesque poses on the floor, their skin matching the colour of the ice and snow around them. An enormous Gagon was slumped against the wall, half its head and left shoulder trapped in clear ice, magnifying one of its misshapen eyes. There were dogs covered in black, spidery hair, and each had a ring of yellow eyes around its head and a large eye on top, in a recessed cavity in its skull. They had no mouths, but thin, tubular proboscises snaked out onto the ground. Gek, wolves that lived in trees and walked nearly upright, were chained together 10 at a time in front of a dead, dark elf. Birds of prey, wingspans longer than 2 horses, set end on end, were imprisoned in metal cages on flat wagons, which had been pulled by massive hounds, now slumped on top of each other. After more Uyumak, they came on a fallen regiment of mounted riders in black, spiked armour. Their steeds were a dark, metallic grey, skin a series of large, overlapping scales, their hooves cloven, and teeth thin, sharp spikes, menacing in their rictus. One of the faceplates of the helmets was open, a pale human face staring blankly at him. After nearly a mile, the air grew colder as they neared the entrance, and there they found the most horrifying brigade of the column, a group of 50 or more men, peasants and soldiers, wearing tatters and bearing fatal injuries sustained before they had been reanimated and forced to march again by Mikik's power. Some were headless, others partially dismembered, and some still carried the spear or arrows that had killed them embedded in their bodies. Torbrand paid them no heed, but Jen scooted along the wall, trying to avoid their mangled bodies clumped about the floor, hands clawed in rigour, reaching out from the piles and ice. They rounded the corner, the opening to the cave yawning before them 50 yards ahead. The cold here was nearly unbearable, and Torbrand stopped, drinking from his water skin. Jen followed suit. At their feet was a tangle of black snakes, vipers the length of a man's arm. There were so many on top of each other that they formed a long hump 6 feet wide, stretching to the mouth of the cave. In the weak light outside, he could tell that more creatures, now buried beneath the snow, stretched into the distance.
"This column stretches for 5 miles, as near as we can tell," Torbrand explained. "The cold must have come upon it quickly. It seems very few of the monsters in this caravan had the chance to move but a few feet before they died. This is probably just one of Mikik's legions that was marching to finish off humans and elves before the shattering. We haven't quite puzzled out where this place was yet." The Shadan's eyes flamed with energy. "Can you imagine the fight this would have been? What I wouldn't give to have a chance to meet this horde head-on with the might of Ogmer at my back. That would be war. Then a man could prove himself. There is no battle today that could even compare to this. If black days are coming, then let them come." Jen hadn't the words to reply, and the Shadan seemed so lost envisioning the past that none were required. After several moments of reverie, the Shadan sighed.
"I must confess," he said, seeming deflated after his outburst, "that this mass of snakes would be nearly impossible to fight. There must be thousands of them. They could overwhelm an entire regiment and give almost no chance of defence." "Come on, then. I have given you quite the story to tell your woman, at least."
"Yes, Shadan," Jen agreed, though he doubted Regina would thank him for relating it.
Jen reached inside his pocket and fingered the braid, and it comforted him as they hiked past scores of creatures he never wanted to see again, frozen or fresh. However horrible, Jen was sure Raphael could turn this one day's events into a tale worth hearing.
"Let's go, Yudan!"
the Shadan ordered, finding him snacking near the fire. They grabbed their gear and went a short way farther into the cave. A small section of the ice had been cleared from the cave wall, and it was here that Yudan closed his eyes, the blue portal shimmering into existence before them.
"You go first, Jen," the Shadan said, "and do try to keep your feet this time. I think you'll be pleased at what awaits us on the other side."